Tom Karkel in the WRJN News Center. Forecast for today, supposed to be turning mostly cloudy, going to be windy, we'll have a high only around the mid-60s. Kenosha right now, the temperature 56. It's 58 in Burlington, Milwaukee 57 and 56 degrees in Racine. A serious traffic crash along southbound I-94 near Highway K in Racine County before 6 o'clock this morning, resulting in some serious injuries and big delays. Part of the median wall damaged by the impact, according to initial reports. Wind speed keeping Flight for Life grounded, so rescue squad transport was required for one injury victim to Frederick Hospital. As you'd expect with morning drive, the backups were significant for some time. Things are easing a bit now. Both frontage roads eventually coming into play. The details of the accident still under investigation. Yesterday, a semi failed to stop for some vehicles waiting for a train to pass. This happened along the 6500 block of Highway KR on the Kenosha-Racine County line. That semi crashing into them. According to the Sheriff's Department, the semi was eastbound and it hit a stopped bunch of cars and then a semi that was also stopped at the train crossing. The situation involved the driver of one of the cars going up to Frederick Hospital in Flight for Life, mainly as a precaution. The crash itself is still under investigation. Third incident at the Manheim Metro Milwaukee Auto Auction in Racine County in recent months yesterday had Sheriff Christopher Schmeling praising that company for increasing its security measures, addressing concerns about the ages of four suspects taken into custody after an attempted auto theft at that business yesterday morning. The suspects, 15 and 16 years old from Milwaukee County, arrested at the scene and outside the grounds, cooperating with investigators, according to the sheriff, saying that they named eight others involved. But the sheriff says we need to take a long, hard look at parenting to determine why these teens were out so early in the morning hours. He also said, without going into detail, the Manheim efforts to beef up their security really helped in this case.
I can tell you that they have spent an enormous amount of money and a great deal of time fortifying their fence, taking great steps to secure their property, working very closely with law enforcement. I'm very proud of their efforts. I think they're very proud of their efforts. I spoke with the management there today. They're very happy that we have four of these individuals in custody.
The sheriff urging the eight others who got away to do the right thing, in his words, and turn themselves in. That fire on Edgewood Avenue we told you yesterday, 1700 block, the one that caused significant damage, well, that damage came to an estimate of about $68,000. That's according to Fire Department Lieutenant John Magnus. The family was on vacation at the time up in the Dells, we're told. They were in contact with the Red Cross to make arrangements for shelter, but they've also been talking with their insurance company. Post-flood cleanup continuing for the city of Burlington, which includes both citizens and businesses, plus the city itself. Operations still not back to normal, and officials there are casting an eye toward the future. City's dispatch facility, for instance, kind of dead in the water, literally, with 6 feet of it in the basement of the PD building. The Racine County Communications Center took over. Administrator Karina Walters noting that going forward will include some planning for perhaps new infrastructure and locations, telling council members they are still in temporary situation mode on things like phones and internet. Future decisions on how to proceed, that will have to come into play as well. And she noted the primary emergency operations center, again at the PD building, became non-functional fairly early. So the upcoming budget review process will include a look at future planning.
One of the items that staff will definitely be bringing forward is kind of a reflection on this past event and talking about where that additional EOC should be. Obviously, if this is our primary EOC and we functioned out of here for a very short amount of time and spent the rest of the time at the fire department, we need to identify the best location and then create that infrastructure and redundancy.
The big discussion after the flood in Burlington, whether to put the city's dispatch facility back in order at possibly $250,000 or consider joining the county's consolidated dispatch operation. More fact-finding on that required by council members who appeared divided based on committee of the whole discussion. The proposed incentives for Foxconn, the subject of a very lengthy public hearing in Madison before the Assembly Committee on Jobs and the Economy, the first discussion of the $3 billion package. For the first several hours of that hearing, which was aired live on Wisconsin Eye, it was members of the committee grilling members of the state administration on different aspects of the package, while local officials who had been invited to testify sat and waited. It was later on in the day that they got to testify, among them UW Parkside Chancellor Debbie Ford, noting there are numerous partnerships already in place regarding education that will benefit local businesses, students, and the community. Representative Corey Mason spoke in support of the bill, ticking off, though, a list of companies that have left Racine, and he feels concerns about such issues as wages, local hiring incentives, environmental controls could be eased with just a few amendments to the bill.
But I see those as possible amendments that could clarify some of the things that people are kind of saying already but don't seem strongly located in the bill. But for the purposes of the opportunity that this presents, I mean, people in Racine are hardworking, good, middle-class people. And if you give them opportunity and training, they will do the work proudly and they will succeed. And so that's what I hope that this presents for our community moving forward.
And, of course, still unanswered just exactly where the big Foxconn facility is going to be located. Mark Hogan, the chief executive of the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation, did say that the announcement would be made within the next couple of weeks. A spike in the number of parvovirus cases in dogs turned over to the Wisconsin Humane Society's campus in Racine, apparently prompting dozens of people to go to a vaccination clinic at the Chicory Road site yesterday morning. Humane Society spokesperson Angela Speed said up to as 80 people attended the clinic, first person in line there at about 7:30 a.m. In the last week, seven dogs from the community came to the shelter with the parvovirus. Two unfortunately died when they arrived at the shelter. Three died despite efforts to save them. Two puppies now receiving treatment. Parvo is preventable, according to veterinarian Dr. Nadine Langston at the Racine campus, but says it does require several booster vaccines before the dogs are fully protected. City of Racine's White Box program to help redevelop the interiors of older business sites, that continues to exceed expectations. The Redevelopment Authority enthusiastically supporting two more requests, one in West Racine and another downtown. The panel hearing plans for revamping the former Nelson's Variety store in West Racine into a retail and or restaurant site from Beth Spangenberg, who noted there were two bids on everything, three in some instances, and it's turned out to be a little bit of a work.
Two bathrooms in the back, and then there's a handicap bathroom. The bathrooms in the back have to be, the doors have to be expanded, because from 1928 they're only like 26 inches wide. So those have to be expanded.
Other White Box grant requests from Tessa and Joseph Schulte, the former Henry and Wanda's building on 6th Street downtown. That's going to be transformed into a dinner restaurant with a bakery for their catering business. That's another project costing a little bit more than expected.
Having done this a few other restaurants in Milwaukee, we had budgeted about $10,000, which, you know, we've spent anywhere from 7 to 10 in the past, and this was definitely not what we had anticipated. So, fun old buildings. And whereas Henry and Wanda's was, you know, more bar with a little bit of food, we're definitely going to be more food with a bar. We're going to start with dinner service, and once the patios close at Blue Bear, then we'll expand to do lunch and brunch. Completely different menu than we're doing at Blue Bear, but still everything from scratch.
Both grant requests for up to the $20,000 maximum supported by the RDA. The White Box program, by the way, through administrative changes, is combined with the facade grant program to have about $258,000 remaining this year out of about $400,000 combined to start, close to $100,000 so far for White Box programming alone. Project updates provided to the RDA by Development Director Amy Conley. She noted, among others, there's been a nibble on the Southside Industrial Park. That's where the old Massey Harris factory once stood. 615 Marquette Street, that redevelopment project, well, it does not qualify for state historic tax credits, so they're going to have to work on that. The Veterans Housing Project for old Clark Street industrial buildings, that is continuing to make progress with the developer. The Racine Revitalization Partnership did meet their deadline for home funding and secured some private funding to renovate 1418 Washington Avenue. The Common Council to get an update in the next 4 to 6 weeks on Machinery Row. Meanwhile, Conley also noting that a request for information went out to a list of hoteliers, as she called them, in reference to the Lakefront Event Center proposal.
The RFI was written by our consultant, S.B. Friedman, and was issued by the City of Racine Purchasing Department. The RFI was sent out to over 25 hoteliers who've expressed an interest in receiving the document, and responses will be back to the city in early September for review and interviews. So moving forward with that project.
The former Racine Steel casting site on North Memorial Drive, part of the continued brownfield cleanup, will include a public information meeting on August the 28th. And take note that at 5 p.m. it is the deadline for residents of Kenosha's 8th Aldermanic District to submit a letter of interest for the job vacated this summer by Kevin Matheson, who moved to the Village of Summers. As of this morning, there were three applicants for the job. Martin Scheirenberg was a delivery driver. Former Alderman Bruce Fox served at different times in both the early to mid-80s and early 90s. And Joshua Euler, who's a warehouse worker in Lake County. All the candidates by today's deadline will qualify to appear for a question and answer session at next Monday night's Kenosha Council meeting. WRJN.com. That is our webpage where we keep our newscast in podcast form throughout the day. Whenever you want, check them out. And at WRJN News, that is for our Twitter updates. I'm Tom Cargo, WRJN News.